Encrypt your video chats. Get Facebook on your TV. We explore the idea of a digital Geneva Convention and love in the time of apps. All that and a whole lot more coming up on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for Twit's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. And thanks for your continued support.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1705, recorded Tuesday, February 14th, 2017.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Grasshopper. Stay connected and run your business from your mobile phone with Grasshopper. To save $50 on your order, visit trygrasshopper.com/twit.
And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/TNT.
Welcome to Tech News Today. Come on in. This is a show where we talk about the stuff that happened in technology.
We talk about entertainment on Tech News Today. We talk about food. On Tech News Today, we never talk about technology, though. I'm sorry.
No, we talk about technology.
It's actually what we do.
You've got this all wrong.
We do talk show.
About technology. And Apple is a computer company, not a food. Yes, not the food. Okay.
Now you tell me.
I'm Megan Maroney.
And I'm Jason Howell. Speaking of Apple, let's talk about food. We've heard about Apple's foray into original content for the Apple TV, and now we have a trailer for Planet of the Apps. I had to put apps in all caps, otherwise I'd say apes because I seem to do that. Planet of the Apps, to judge it by, and it's not good. I don't know. Did you watch this?
I watched it.
It's basically Shark Tank, but for app developers, judged by Will.i.am, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jessica Alba, and Gary Vaynerchuk. There is no release date yet for the show, but Eddie Q says it will premiere this spring sometime exclusively on Apple Music and the Planet of the Apps application for iOS. What do you think of this amazing television promo?
I think I already do this show. It's called iOS Today. It comes on, you can download it now, twit.tv/iOS.
And you can download it on Android too.
Yeah. We wear hats.
Oh, well, that's better than what we saw there.
Yeah. I don't know why you would need to do this. So I do agree that it's a good idea for developers to know what they're up against, you know, for like a kid to have an idea before she says, yeah, I'm going to create an app, to know what's involved. And so I could see in that sense that it might be useful. But I think the way they're doing it seems kind of lame. I also think I feel like independent apps are on their way out. I do think, like, if you look at the research, you see that people download mostly the same apps. Like, they're always the same popular apps, or there's games that are always from the same big company. So I just don't think that it seems to me to be maybe a little bit late.
Too little, too late.
If I were Gwyneth Paltrow on Planet of the Apps, I would say too little, too late.
That would be your catchphrase.
Yeah, that would
that's
totally
what everybody would know you as. Megan, the too little, too late.
Yeah. I'm so glad I've never had a catchphrase before.
Well, we've got a show. You should come up with one. Okay. Maybe it's that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the technorati, you know, folks very intertwined with technology on the internet are dissing this super hard. But the reality is a show like this probably isn't necessarily designed for them or geared towards them. Maybe has more of a mass market appeal to it. I just didn't think it looked very good. And personally, from like a editor producer standpoint, I thought the promo was really bad. It like was not exciting at all. Maybe that's not what we should be talking about when it comes to this thing. But I was very underwhelmed, very unimpressed.
Well, it's just been done. I mean, it's exactly
what's been done a million times. Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, you know what hasn't been done a million times?
What?
Encrypting video chats on Signal. This is new. Open Whisper Systems. That's the nonprofit behind Signal, announced a beta version that adds encrypted video calls and a promise of better call quality. Apparently, that was a problem on Signal. You can activate the new features in the advanced settings menu. Now, the Edward Snowden-endorsed Signal app has been the secure messaging tool du jour for journalists and other privacy experts for a while. But as of late, it's also seen adoption by lots of normals in this new age of surveillance that we are in. Signal even boasts encryption across the great divide between Android and iOS devices. So previously they offered end-to-end encryption on chat and video calling, but Signal, the beta, this is all in beta, it now offers support for CallKit, which also will allow you to answer calls in the lock screen, which is great for convenience sake, but it can also allow anyone else to answer calls when your phone is locked, which is not that secure.
Yeah, well, and it also does a number of other things. So obviously, okay, so video, encrypted video conversation, that's great. Awesome new feature. Duo is actually also cross... Duo is on iOS as well, right?
That
is encrypted video chat. Is Duo on iOS? I know that Allo is.
I think Duo is too.
You've got it as well. So you have a couple of options. It's good to have that. As far as the call kit thing, that's very interesting because it's not just that anybody can answer it from the lock screen, because that is one big consideration there. But it's also that those calls then are listed in the recent calls list on iOS. And so, you know, it kind of creates, for an app that is built around security, it creates more of a trail, a breadcrumb trail. So it's definitely an option that people would need to ask themselves. You know, it's definitely one of those situations where it's like security versus convenience. Where do you fall in this continuum and choose wisely? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. But it's a nice feature. Nice to be able to kind of integrate it a little bit more into iOS. Kind of reminds me of our Switch and complaining a little bit about kind of the lack of being able to do that with some apps, to have some sort of a deeper integration. So, hey, you got your wish here, or I got my wish here. I don't know. Either way, there we go.
It's funny that you brought up Duo. I totally forgot that exists. Yeah, I mean, I was pushing Allo.
There's
and then
the challenge. That's the big challenge right there, Megan. You hit it on the head. Forgot that that exists. Facebook is making its plans for your TV set official with its announcement of a new standalone app for Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Samsung Smart TVs. The app will bring videos from friends as well as liked pages onto the TV set, as well as recommended videos that are based on your viewing history. We had talked about, the rumor from Wall Street Journal on this a couple of weeks ago. Now it's kind of becoming official, though the app is not out yet. Facebook says it's coming soon, though, so you won't have to wait too long for that. Facebook also announced that videos within the news feed will now autoplay, which they've always done, but now with the sound on by default, if your volume is turned up on your device. And I don't like that.
No, 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 no.
No.
Don't do that. No, no, no.
No, no, no. That's catchy. I'm going to title.
No. No, no. What? Nobody wants that. I mean, except Facebook and advertisers.
Right.
Advertisers don't want that.
Definitely want that. Yeah. They want to get maximum impact for that. I mean, I guess to some degree, if you've got your phone muted, you've gone through the steps to make sure that nothing plays through the speaker and you've made that choice. But still, like, it's those times that you forget because you're not always actively thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like it. So, okay, so there's two parts here. There's the autoplay sound, which we on videos we say no.
Maybe
and then
even
there's
more.
The idea of the Facebook app on your TV. And then with that, I'm like, maybe. I don't know. I mean, one of the points that the Facebook blog post, the PR post says, now you can mark videos that you want to watch later, and then you can sit on your couch and watch them later. So, you know, I do that with all kinds of apps with, oh, I'm going to read that article later, and I never read it later. So I don't think I would, you know, that's the thing about the dog video that you're watching or the penguins giving birth or whatever, like C-SPAN moment you think you want to watch when you're scrolling through Facebook. You're not going to want to watch that later when you're sitting on your couch. You're going to want to watch Westworld or Black Mirror or Netflix or something highly produced and good for you.
You're gonna want that video content, that overly political or penguin giving birth video, which I've never heard of. You're gonna want that to derail your day at the moment that you're scanning through your Facebook news feed, not when you sit down in front of your TV set.
Right.
I can see it both ways, I suppose.
Well, I mean, I think it's like the way your brain works.
Yeah.
Like there's the signals that are hot and then the signals that are cold, and usually the signals that are cold are the ones that are good, better for you. Mm-hmm. And the signals that are hot are just scrolling through. I'm wasting my time. I'm going to look at some nonsense.
Right.
Whereas, what's really good for you is to sit on your couch and watch the entire season of Westworld.
That's what's good for you.
Then watch
Westworld.
Yes.
Or
it is.
Stranger Things. Or
Black Mirror.
Or Black Mirror. We're telling you what's good for you.
Yeah.
Hopefully you trust us in our recommendations there. There are a few other options that they mentioned. Vertical videos are now going to expand to fill the whole screen. So, sometimes you see these videos, I guess Snapchat does this where it's a vertical video, but it still expands it to fit the screen. So you might cut off a few things, but it fills everything up. Looks weird to me. And then videos will continue to play as you're scrolling through your newsfeed and a little thumbnail down at the bottom of the screen. And that reminds me of what YouTube has done for a long time, where if you start scrolling through the comments, the video kind of shrinks down or stays up there so that you never are without that video content. And that is very good for advertisers as well.
Mm-hmm. True. Well, somebody's got to pay for this Facebook addiction I have.
True.
During his keynote at RSA San Francisco, Microsoft president and chief legal officer Brad Smith called on tech companies to create a digital Geneva Convention. Smith says that as state-sponsored attacks grow, tech leaders need to agree to protect together, to band together, to protect, if necessary, protect people from cyber attacks. Tech companies like Microsoft and others are like first responders, Smith says, in cyber terror attacks and should commit to collective action. And governments should commit to protecting civilians from nation state attacks in times of peace, just as the 1949 Geneva Convention treaty resulted in governments committing to help citizens in time of war. So many countries, of course, ignore the non-digital Geneva Convention. So who's to say that the same countries won't ignore this one? But just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you should do nothing. I like this idea.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great way to put it. Brad Smith says cyberspace is the new battlefield. I think we could probably all agree that that is absolutely the case right now. Cyberspace has become such an important kind of space for a lot of stuff in the political sense, in the technology world. I mean, it all revolves around this right now, and there's so much to gain and so much to lose through it. So any way that you can protect people in that regard, I think, is good news. He also really kind of emphasizes the fact that tech companies in general should pledge neutrality in all of this, that they should 100% be defensive in how they handle cyber attacks and beyond that, overreaching government. So let's say 0% offensive. Essentially, their entire mission, their entire goal is to protect the users, not helping governments in their own quests, their own offensives. So that would mean, no back doors for the governments, no creation of cyber weapons. Really, in essence, it's a representative of Microsoft spelling out in no uncertain terms where they stand as far as this is concerned. Maybe it's easier to say this than it is to actually enforce this, though, when you have a very influential government, in charge. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to try and see, I guess. I mean, but yeah, we've long known that the cyber war is cheaper, it's more effective. It's really what a lot of nation states are using. And so I'm glad to hear the same language being thrown around. They're talking about like non-proliferation of cyber weapons, committing to activities, to exercising constraint in the development of cyber weapons. So really taking this language that has, this structure that has worked sort of in the government when you're talking about war and applying it to cyber war. This is the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. Ehang, which is the Chinese company that tested its autonomous drone taxis last summer in Las Vegas, it had first shown them off at CES in 2016, is now apparently ready for business. The company plans to roll out its passenger-carrying drone service in Dubai this summer. It's going to be covering an area of 40 to 50 kilometers flying at speeds of 100 kilometers per hour per owl. That's about 62 miles per hour. A remote command center will monitor and pilot the drones to and from their destinations. And yeah, you're going to hop into an e-hang and take a trip across town?
Well, yeah, next time I'm in Dubai. Absolutely.
Which is all the time.
Yeah. I've been to Dubai exactly, I don't know, zero times in my life. So yeah, but this is, it's not a flying car. We all want to talk about, call it a flying car. We're not allowed to. It's a flying taxi. It only goes 19 miles. That's it. So, like, whenever I'm in Dubai, as I mentioned, which is never, I need to go longer than, I need to go a lot further than 19 miles. So,
yeah, how big is Dubai?
Yeah. But I do like throwing around the term VTOL now that I know about it, vertical takeoff and landing.
VTOL?
VTOL.
Yeah, no big deal.
Which, yeah, that's what this does, vertical takeoff and landing, as opposed to a plane.
Yes, exactly. That's my scientific explanation for what it does.
Are we done talking about
I'm
the
done playing with my action car? I'm done playing with my action figures. It's time to move on.
Right.
VTOL.
VTOL. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for the pronunciation help. VTOL.
Thank you, Burke.
If I really want to sound smart, I need to pronounce it correctly. So as you no doubt heard, YouTuber PewDiePie has been dropped by Disney and YouTube, and he has lost his preferred advertising status due to anti-Semitic videos, which he calls jokes. Tomorrow we'll talk to Sammy Main from Adweek about the trouble with brands teaming up with YouTube influencers. But now after the break, it's love in the time of apps. Ian Scher from CNET joins us to discuss their digital Valentine's Day extravaganza over at CNET. But first, let's take a minute to thank Grasshopper, the sponsor of this episode. Grasshopper is a virtual phone system designed for entrepreneurs. Grasshopper works just like a traditional phone system, but it requires no hardware purchase. They have an iOS and an Android app. You use that, you download that, then callers can reach you wherever you are on your mobile phone. So you can go to the beach and still conduct your business. Grasshopper allows you to keep your existing number so you can maintain your brand while you're doing your business at the beach. When you make a call, your client will see your Grasshopper caller ID, not your personal phone number. All you have to do is select a toll-free or local number, record a custom greeting, and add multiple extensions for your business. Toll-free numbers are great for marketing, and they make your business sound and look more professional. Set up department and employee extensions with custom call forwarding to any phone in the world. Get voicemails emailed to you as audio attachments. You can also send and receive SMS text messages from your business number. So you can join the over 250,000 happy Grasshopper customers today. Their plans start at just $12 a month, and you have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so try it first. Turn your smartphone into a business line with Grasshopper. To save $50 on your order, go to trygrasshopper.com/twit. That's trygrasshopper.com/twit, and we thank Grasshopper for their support. It's Valentine's Day, and technology surely has oozed into every aspect of our lives, especially our love lives, and it's complicated. Joining us to talk about how tech has changed how we find love forever is Ian Scher, executive editor at CNET. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing well. So CNET has dozens of pieces about...
You love the love at CNET.
I went out for this. Yeah, definitely.
You really went for it on the cyber love. But let's start with dating sites, those dating sites pieces. There are sites that help people find whoever they're looking for, whatever weird thing you're into. Tell us what you found when you looked into those niche dating sites like trekpassions.com.
Yeah, I've been looking around at this stuff for quite a while, and I've really been fascinated by how the internet allows people who have different interests to really kind of come together and create communities. And one of the ways that that's really clear is in the dating website. So as you mentioned, there's one for Star Trek fans, so that you can find your crew members, as it were. There are ones for vampire-type people who really love the night. There are one of the more interesting ones I ran across was for truckers, where you know people can actually find people to go on long hauls with them or even date. And then another one that popped up recently that I was aware of is Trump singles, where fans of the president can come together and go on dates as well. And by the way, there's a Bernie singles as well, in case you're wondering. And so it underscores how people are using the internet really to find these communities that otherwise they would have a really hard time finding, right? If you imagine you're in your hometown and you're trying to find people to hang out with, to date, to whatever, it's very hard to find like-minded people. You usually have to go through a lot of process of talking to them, figuring it all out. The internet washes all that away. It brings you together automatically almost. And that's why these sites seem to really be popular.
I have to imagine when you're talking about these niche dating sites, so you've got the dating sites that have millions of users because they're widespread and they're just the catch-all dating sites. And then you have these niche sites that are very specific to a certain characteristic or a certain, just a certain passion, let's say. How are they able, in these cases, do you think, to generate enough users for that niche in a particular geographic area? I have to imagine that would be a big hurdle for them.
I think that with 7 billion people on the planet, there are more people interested in stuff around you the same as you than you think. And I think that's what these websites have really shown us, right? Mm-hmm. And, one way to look at that really is to look at stuff like the furry type of world and also the My Little Pony, right? Both mm-hmm. of those are ones that that kind of mainstream culture rejects, but have found actually a really big following online. And I think that that's a great example of where really it's about bringing people out of their shells and showing to one another what they're interested in instead of what's normal, right? I'm walking down the street. I say hello to someone randomly. I meet them in a bar. I'm not going to tell them some of the stuff that might be not culturally sensitive or something that's popular. I'm going to take a while. And this stuff kind of makes that stuff very quick.
So a lot of people, including Aziz Ansari, he did a book about this, that there's this idea now that we're all we feel like there are so many options open to us. Like we can always keep swiping right forever. And so that makes some people just never settle down, for lack of a better word, or just think that there's always something better out there and are waiting a long time. What do you say to that argument that that's what technology has done to relationships?
Well, that's definitely a criticism that I heard when I was speaking with psychologists and sociologists and even a sex comic. All of them agreed that this is a problem that pops up, and it pops up in different ways. So you mentioned the easiest way, right, where people just keep swiping and swiping and swiping. And because they don't have to deal with a real human being across the table, they're going to be willing to just reject, reject, reject until they find what they perceive to be the perfect. But the other part is that it also causes these more informal relationships, right? And, it's not like I'm stumbling onto one-night stands for the first time here, but these apps have certainly made it much easier to kind of get to that stuff quicker. And so, it's something that the psychologists are very worried about when we look at any new technology, because it makes everything much more efficient. I can go through people more efficient. I can weed them out like they're a database and stuff like that. And it's actually something that even came up with Trump singles. The psychologist I spoke to for that one said, look, you may get something out of the opposites attract type issue. And if you're going to say, no, I only want to date people who have the same politics as me, you might lose out on something. And that's important. But it's been a problem regardless, right? This has been a problem in religious groups, right, where people of a certain religion tend to only marry within the religion or whatever. And so it's always been something that's popped up. It's just the internet, again, has kind of exacerbated and made it easier to split to choose based on certain things.
So you also wrote about how this is not just turned it upside down. The technology is really dominating the love life, all of our love lives. Can you talk a little bit about other ways that it's dominating?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the most interesting ones are through communication, right? That, as the sex comic told me, Nikki Glaser, who used to have a late night show on Comedy Central, she said it amazes her that you can have an entire relationship with someone over text message and not even ever really meet them. And it's an extreme, but it's actually a good point, is that a lot of this mass communication has made it so that we are, the way we conduct our relationships is very different. And it leads to some problems, right? That when you're dealing especially with communication over the internet, it's hard to get nuance, it's hard to get emotion, and it makes things harder. The other thing also is that these apps, one of the things that she did was that she created a kind of experiment called Tinder Tap Out, where she created really beautiful women on Tinder, but gave them ridiculous personalities. And so she tried to lure men in and see how long they're willing to stick in the relation, in the conversation, for the hope of possibly meeting this woman. And so she told some people, for example, that she had just stolen a wheelchair and sold it for $100, and she was really proud of that. And then she told a Marine, for example, that she had PTSD or party till stupid drunk, right? And the guy kept talking to her. And one of the things that she realized with that is that it seemed like these all of these people that they're talking to are another fish in the sea, right? They're just kind of keep going and going until it get until they get somewhere with it. And that's a different thing. That's something that seems uniquely an effect of technology versus something that's existed in the past.
What can you tell us about this kind of this emerging world of virtual reality? This has been, you know, last year was kind of the year where virtual reality moved a little bit further into the mainstream consciousness. And now people, you know, understand that it's this emerging technology that there's actually life to. What are the implications of a world where we don't even have to meet up with someone? We can go into a virtual space and have a date.
Well, it's an interesting idea. So we actually had, we sent a reporter on a date in space. And we didn't send her in a rocket. She just put on a pair of VR goggles. And it was a little weird to her, right? I mean, it's one of those things where you have to get used to this idea of that there's an avatar on the other side of the room. It's not a real person, but there's a person controlling that avatar. And for her, it kept it kind of separate, right? There wasn't an emotional connection. She was also dating someone at the time, so maybe that didn't help either. But you know, the thing is that it's an interesting issue. And one of the things that we found out in the story was that eHarmony, right, which is now a pretty mainstream website for dating, believes that a lot of our dates are going to happen in virtual reality by 2040. And so what does that mean, right? How does that change the dynamic? One of the things that she looked at also was that it's not just dating. She actually found out people who were having conducting their relationships in VR. So one couple was actually, one of them travels a lot, the guy. And so he would take a kind of 360 photo, right, of the room he's in or whatever, and he would then sit with his girlfriend in it, right? And the idea was that instead of having to take a photo, text it, and she's like, oh, okay, that's kind of neat, you can actually experience the place together, right? And for long distance relationships especially, that's actually, it seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe after you've started the relationship.
Exactly, right? It becomes a new communication tool.
You also, Allison Vain, one of your reporters, mm-hmm. talked about apps that can protect you if you're meeting someone online. Do you have any recommendations for us there?
Yeah, she had several on there, so I recommend reading the story on CNET. But one of them that stood out to me was called Circle of Six, where what you do is that you ask six of your friends to kind of agree to be part of your kind of protective circle. And what can happen is that when you fire up the app, you can do things like send them your location or ask for help or whatever. And the idea here, and again, this gets to, you know, let's not just be the old fogies looking, oh, look at those Tinder people. We wanted to make this helpful for people as well. And so these apps specifically help people get out of a bind if they're in one, which, let's be honest, that's a part of dating these days. And, you know, it also helps people kind of make sure that they feel safe when they're going on first dates, which, you know, my wife told me many months after she met me that she wasn't even sure she was going to go on the first date with me because she was worried that, you know, she met me over the internet. She didn't know whether or not I was a safe person to be around. And that's a story we hear a lot. In fact, we had some of our reporters tell their stories about how they met their significant others. And universally, every one of them said, I wasn't sure who this person was when I was first meeting up with them. And they either brought a friend or they were just anxious about it. And that's something that we tried to address in that story.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for sharing all of these stories. There's a ton of content. If you're not doing anything tonight, I suggest sitting around and reading it.
Definitely. Thank you.
Or maybe before you go out. yeah, it's just some excellent content. Ian Scher is an executive editor at CNET, CNET News. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank
My
you,
pleasure.
Ian. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Neil wrote in to TNT at twit.tv. He's from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and writes, last week you talked about the device that could tell you if you smelled bad. What might happen if someone else turned the device on you? There lies the issue of odor abuse. Odor abuse, I didn't know that was a... Well, we kind of talked a little bit about that, but yeah, having that turned on you, that's no good. Mm-hmm. Imagine finally getting to the front of a line to enter a club and the bouncer turns such a device toward you and says, dude, your smell is not acceptable in this bar. Beat it. Also, he continues, the theme music for your show rocks. Who created it? That would be none other than Dan Luders. You can go to danluders.com, LEUDERS.com. Yes, very talented musician. He's written themes for a lot of our shows. TNT, Android App Arena, new screensavers. I know that there's more, but there you go. danluders.com. Coming up, an old classic phone might come back from the dead. But first, let's take a minute to thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They're the sponsor of this episode. If you want to get in that house, you want to renegotiate your own mortgage, refinance your mortgage, that's what Rocket Mortgage is all about. Really, it's not an easy thing to go about necessarily. If you've never done it before and you go through the process, you quickly realize that there are a lot of hurdles, there are a lot of speed bumps along the way. So what you want is kind of a companion that's going to help you through the process and make it a little bit easier for you. You want to work with someone you can trust, who has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you're going to get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's really going to make it a whole lot easier for you. So don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial information to get a mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and the length of your loan in real time so you can make sure that you get the mortgage solution that's perfect for your situation right now. So whether you're looking to buy a home or even refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and make it a little bit easier for you. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/TNT. That's quickenloans.com/TNT. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support.
TNT's fan of the day is Pierre, who sent us this photo via email saying, I hear you guys debating the merits of the Apple Watch versus the myriad of Android Wear devices, but never have any love for the Galaxy Gear devices. As someone who has had a Microsoft Band 1 and 2, horrible experience, I'm with you, Pierre, and a Zen Watch, blah, experience, I have to say my Gear S2 3G is by far the most user-friendly and functional device I've had on my wrist. It seems like most of the major upgrades to Android Wear 2.0 are features that are already part of the Gear experience. Auto-tracking, one-touch notification, QWERTY keyboard. I've never owned an Apple Watch, and maybe I'm wrong, but I can't imagine the little digital crown is more user-friendly than the rotating bezel.
The rotating bezel on the Gear is pretty nice, I will admit.
You're into the rotating bezel?
Yeah, it's nice. Although I really do like the crown, the digital crown. Which is weird because I remember when Apple Watch first came out with the digital crown on it, and I was like, they just included that because that's what you expect to find on a watch, and that's not how you interact with the touchscreen. But I actually really liked it on the Apple Watch, and I actually really like it on this watch as a way to kind of navigate through apps and everything like that. So,
yeah.
But the big rotating bezel around the watch on the S2, and I think the S3 does that as well. Really nice.
But rotating bezel means round, and round watches, smartwatches, are an abomination. Everyone knows that.
I know. We know how you feel about round smartwatches, Megan.
Okay. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT, record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup, post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook. Use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT. We will find it.
The day was September 1st, year 2000. Nokia replaced its popular 3210 with what would become one of the most successful phones of the year, the Nokia 3310 GSM phone. The phone sold 126 million units around the world and was an iconic workhorse. So it's little surprise that HMD Global, the holding company for the Nokia brand now, is expected to announce, apparently, the uprisal of the 3100 at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona later this month, reviving the revered brand. Evlix on Twitter says it will cost around 59 euros or roughly $62 US. Did you have one of these phones?
I did.
You remember these?
I did. And I'm going to buy another one. I will.
Oh, yeah? Why?
I'm
going to
buy it for my children because...
Oh. They're going to go, why did you get me this?
I don't know. I have three children. One of them wants a flip phone. That's not a flip phone, but they want a basic phone because that's like the new record player.
Oh, it's a retro thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
I
have something that does everything? Mm-hmm. I want this old thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a beast. You couldn't destroy it. Like, you could probably throw boulders at it and right. It would survive it.
Yeah. I kind of miss that, like throwing your phone across the room when you're mad, just like, I'm not going to do that.
And without the fear that comes with it, mm-hmm. picking it up from the ground. And, oh, no.
But yeah. A dumb phone, like that's why I've started using the analog organizer. Like I have the calendar that I talk about because I hate always having to look at this.
Always having a screen.
Right. Yeah. And it's you have one thing you want to do and you get distracted by everything else there.
Yeah.
So maybe I just want to make a phone call. I mean, how often have you picked this up? I need to make this phone call. And then, ooh, look at how many people like my Instagram
Squirrel.
Photo.
Squirrel.
And, it's just nonsense. And I need a Nokia phone to protect me from me.
And yeah, if you have one of those, you leave, like let's say you go out for date night or whatever. Leave your iPhone at home, mm-hmm. just take your Nokia, and then when you pull it out to make a call, people are going to be like, what is that? Yeah. What's that new phone?
Yeah.
And you're going to be the talk of the town.
There should be a dating site just for Nokia.
Yes, what we've learned is that there's probably enough people to make a dating site like that work.
Mm-hmm. If we've learned anything in the past hour, it's that.
That's the only thing we've learned in the past hour. Yeah. You're welcome. TNT records live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, midnight UTC at twit.tv/live. Be part of the show, of course, by emailing us, tnt@twit.tv. Leave us a short voicemail at 260-TNT-SHOW and find us on Twitter. We're at Tech News Today TV.
I got some more pieces of news for you.
What's that?
We're on the Amazon Echo.
Oh.
We're on the Google Home.
Mm-hmm.
We are on YouTube, TuneIn, mm-hmm. Google Play Music, Apple TV, and
Razor
more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preaching. If you haven't tried 60dB, that 60dB app, not on Android yet, but it is on the Amazon Web Voice Services device, you can try it. And you can follow us there, too. You can get our Twit Pits or you can get our whole episodes. Follow us there. Check it out, 60dB. Find all the ways to subscribe to our show at twit.tv/TNT. And if you want to tweet at me, I'm at Megan Maroney.
And I'm at Jason Howell. Thanks to our technical director, as always, Brian Burnett. Thanks to Burke for helping out in the studio and occasionally giving me little pieces of tape to fix my mic stand. I appreciate it. Thanks to Kevin for editing the show. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.